You ready to go?
Yeah, we're ready to go.
All right, let's start a little early. It's good. I got a lot to cover. Anything either of you would like to lead with?
Been working with a trainer for 3 weeks now. Feeling a lot more energetic.
Wow. One of the things I wanted to mention today, you've got this book.
I do.
Just take a look at page 205, and there's a list there. It says most important physical energy management strategies, and it just talks about probably some of a lot of the things your trainer is working with you. So I was going to bring that up later, but this makes a huge difference. I can, as I told you before, I can tell it. I can tell it in your voice. Anything that you want to share, or something that's working well? Anything? Success story.
Yeah, you know, we're doing everything right. I mean, I'm doing annual reviews now, and clients are really happy. I mean, they're really happy. Not getting many referrals yet, but you know, when clients are this happy, it's got to come, I think. Other than that, I mean, I'm a member of the Rotary, so I'm taking over as Rotary president in, next month. So I'm also excited because this is relatively a new town for me, and it's a great way to meet a lot of people is through Rotary, I think. And I'm already getting invited to things that I never would have thought of before. So, looking forward to that too. So.
One of the things when you do civic involvement or whatever, you want to run it. You don't want to just be there and show up, meet and leave. And that's what you're doing. You're the president. You're going to get to see everything. People are going to get to see and trust you. You're going to have opportunities. So as you said a second ago, you're doing everything right. The key is, as we said, is execution, and you're executing. That's really good news. The homework for this week was twofold: complete your practice overview, and you sent it to me. I don't know if you get the same thing, but up in the upper left hand corner, if you can look at this, you see it's double printing here. Your logo.
Why are they doing that for you, Rob? That doesn't happen for me.
Okay, as long as you're
on. I have one. Hey, Rob.
Yep.
So I have this one here.
Yeah.
Which is sitting on my desk, and it doesn't do that for me.
Yeah. Okay. Good. That's the important part.
Yeah.
Is this the final draft?
I think so. I think for now it is. Yeah.
Okay. This doesn't have to always be this way. A year from now, 6 months from now, 3 months from now, you may want to update it, bring up something that you've had some success with. But this is a powerful thing. Have you run this by compliance yet?
I sent it to them. I haven't heard back. I'm leaving it on my desk because I'm waiting for them to send it back to me. So to answer your question is, I sent it to them. I haven't heard back from them yet.
Rob Knapp kicked off a meeting. I forget the company it was for, and he was introduced by the compliance director. And the reason the compliance director wanted to introduce him is if FAs are doing all the things that they say that you're doing here, the monthly contact, the rapid response, you're protected. I mean, you don't want to look at it as being defensive. But I would be surprised if your compliance people they might want to change a word or two just to show they've done their due diligence. But once you get that going, you're ready to go. The other part of your homework was to count the number of times that you used VIPSA, enthusiastically endorsed, niche expansion, and centers of influence. Give me an idea. How many did you
use? VIPSA, I just looked at that before the call. I did it 12 times. Enthusiastically endorse, I did it 6 times.
Okay. Niche expansion?
Niche expansion, I did it 3 times.
All right. And centers of influence?
Centers of influence, I did it 4 times.
Okay. I had an experience yesterday. I sat down with someone who doesn't do tax returns but is a CPA. And she found in about 2 seconds an $18,000 deduction that I had missed in 2019. Mm-hmm. It was my fault. I didn't give the right information to the CPA, but I'm still going to get refile and get the deduction, which is $3,000 or $4,000. So the reason I bring that story up is it's really important that you've got a cadre of people that is, you've heard the term adjunct professor. They're people who don't work for the university, but they teach. These people are an adjunct member of your team. People who can, will do a great job. It's really hard to do everything you want to do without a team around you. The team doesn't have to be part of the same, firm. They're people that you can rely on. You know they'll do a great job.
Yeah. So,
it just got so clear to me yesterday that my CPA should have caught it. I didn't give him the right piece of paper, but he should have caught it. So I'm probably going to take a look around for somebody else. Go ahead.
So Rob, I have 4 lawyers and 2 accountants that I've gotten their information from clients, and since we've been doing this last couple of weeks. And the next step for me, I was going to reach out and then hopefully introduce myself, but also talk about my practice overview.
Yep.
Is that the next step in your opinion?
Yes. Yes. You're going to show them an overview of your practice. This is who you are. Never forget, Paul, that when people refer, they're taking a risk. If they refer you to one of their clients to you, and you blow them up, which is the term that we use in this business. Not only they've lost a client, possibly because of the referral that they've given. So you've got to make it less. What's the right term? Less risk for the attorney or the CPA. And what you do is you get this practice overview in front of you. And how would you start that conversation, Bill? We've been talking and working with each other over the last 6 months. I thought it might help you to know what my practice looks like.
This is Bill. You don't know me, but we have a mutual client.
Yes.
This is that.
Yes, but you got to make sure, you got to throw in that conversation. This is a little off the path, that you have that client's permission to divulge. We have a mutual client, Bill Jones.
Right.
He's given me a permission to use my name. Just work that in there, because if you start talking about clients and they think you're divulging information, now you don't look so professional. Now you increase the risk.
Sure.
So yeah, it's that conversation. So you said you have. How many attorneys?
Right now I have 4 that I have yet to introduce myself to.
So why are they, these are just people you want to be part of your practice?
As I was doing financial planning for these clients,
yeah,
I asked them who their lawyer is, who their CPA is, and then I asked them, do you mind if I reach out to them and introduce myself to them? I need to, I'm always looking for a good lawyer or a good accountant. Mind if I just introduce myself to make sure that we're doing all that we can for you too as well. So
here's that's fine. The best script is the one that you talk about. I'd rather have 20 bad scripts than one good script. So here's I'm going to give you another way to look at that conversation. You're talking to the CPA and say, we have a common client, Bill Jones. He suggested I give you a call. I like to work with good CPAs, ones that know what I do, so on and so forth. Is there a time I could come over and find out what it is that you do? You're going in to listen. During that conversation, you will have an opportunity to talk. So you're going in there to find out what they do. Somebody may specialize in small businesses. Somebody may specialize in whatever, corporations, whatever. But you don't want to refer somebody to an attorney who doesn't do what this client would need. I'll tell you a quick story. My dad did real estate in a little town in Missouri, and this was way back when they were just making, you know, remember splitting the estate, AB trust. And he saw he needed to do that. And instead of going to an estate attorney, he tried to get it done with the real estate attorney he used. And the guy really didn't know what he's doing. And my dad had a heart attack and died before it got done. Yeah. I tell you that story to drive home the point. You want to make sure that you've got the right attorneys, the right CPAs for the clients that you would refer them to. Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Okay. Now, as you think about this, what you're going to do is you're going to go find out what these attorneys and CPAs do. You're going to be a good listener, and sooner or later they're going to say, give you an opportunity to talk about your practice. That's just the way it is. So we talk about, you're not, Rob Knapp has a term, we give before we get. And he says, if you ought to give three referrals, if you hadn't gotten a referral after giving them three, then we've got a little script to talk about to have a pleasant conversation about why they haven't referred back to you. So do you see opportunities right now? Do you have any of your clients who have there's my wife walking by.
Hi.
She says, sorry. It's hard to get used to this new technology. So you're going to make sure people know what you do. Do you want them to be specifically able to talk about your practice? This attorney's talking to a client. They get around to investments and they're just not happy. He can specifically describe what you do. He's been in the business a certain length of time. He offers rapid response to any questions, problems, inquiries, multi-generational planning, monthly scheduled contact. All of those things. You've been around meetings where people are, you know, they're in that meeting for one reason, and that's to try to get referrals. You've seen that act, haven't you?
Yeah, often.
It's not pretty. It's
uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. So you want to talk about, get an opportunity to talk about them, then you can have a decent conversation. You're going to have opportunities through Rotary. You've got these attorneys and CPAs that you're working with. You understand how all this works, right? I mean, you're comfortable with it. If you look at your practice, if you had to describe your practice, you can describe your practice today much better than you could have described your practice 6 months ago. Agreed?
Absolutely.
And you have a tighter practice than you had 6 months ago.
Absolutely.
You can bring value to prospective clients and to clients. So the key, as you have said, is, you know, we got to get more referrals. We got to get in front of more people. I think you're in good shape right now to do that. Agreed?
Yeah, I have something now that I can be very proud of, and I know I have it under control, and I feel like we're good at what we're doing. We're doing a good job.
Yeah, and you said it earlier, your clients are loving it. Now, let's go to the basics. You know where I'm going. When a client says, gosh, Paul, I love this. This is terrific. Is that a recognition? It's a recognition of value, correct?
Absolutely.
What's the first thing you do?
I acknowledge it. Sincerely acknowledge it. Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
You validate. You let them know you heard them. Thanks for saying that. Suzanne and I work really hard to provide that level of whatever they've complimented you on. Mm-hmm. Do you know anyone else? Let's say they've complimented you on the scheduled monthly calls. You say, thank you for saying that. Suzanne and I work really hard to set that up. Do you know anyone else who would appreciate that same monthly contact? You don't say, talk to me. You use the exact thing they have complimented you on.
Right.
Got it?
Got it.
But somebody told me once you can never say the right thing too many times. So you got it. Now,
I got it. Yeah.
All right. Let me go get back to got a little off. Of these four things, BIPSA, EE, niche expansion, centers of influence, which one are you most comfortable with?
I would say probably the VIPSA seems to roll off my tongue. But I also think that enthusiastically enforced, it's coming up a lot because of financial planning. You know, it's easy to say, you know, who do you work with? And then in the questionnaire for the financial planning, by the way, last year I think I did 4. This year, what do we have, 20 so far?
Like 18.
So last year I did 4. This year so far we have like 18. And so asking them who their accountant is and who their lawyer is, everybody's getting that. And then asking them, do you enthusiastically endorse them? You know, it just seems to fit. And so, you know, it's a good conversation.
Okay. So again, this is repeating. You say, Bill, who's your attorney? Well, why do you want to know that? Now that's an objection. You probably haven't had that, but it just helps define how to think of this, building these relationships. I'm glad you asked. You validated that you've heard them. I'm glad you asked. I always want to make sure you're getting the very best advice away from the things that I do for you. You get it?
Yeah.
And that's why you're asking the question. You're not just a stock and bond mutual fund person, you do the whole thing.
Right.
Okay. Now, going to these 18 plans, and I'm enforcing some things. What do you have to say about your plans? Number one, have they been fully implemented? And how often is it reviewed? So I'll ask you that. That's a differentiating question you ask a prospect when they tell you they've already done planning. You validate you heard it. I'm glad you've done that, Ms. Brown. Do you mind if I ask you a couple of questions? No, go ahead. Well, how often is it reviewed? And has it been fully implemented? Very strong differentiating questions. So on these 18, and I know some of them are recent, some of them have they been fully implemented, your plans?
They're not fully complete yet, but yeah, a lot of them have been fully implemented. But you know, every year something else pops up. Next year when we do it again, I'm sure something else will pop up, and that'll be the focus point of that year's financial planning. So,
but you understand that asking those questions are big differentiators. I saw a lot of planning done at Merrill Lynch. I mean, they just drilled into us. I saw a lot of plans that weren't, the FA would take a look at the asset side of the balance sheet and never got back to revisit other things that the client might need. All right?
Okay.
All right, niche expansion, you're comfortable with, enthusiastically endorse, you're putting yourself in that traffic. Centers of influence, you're developing a go-to attorney and a go-to CPA. So it seems like you got your arms around that. You feel good about that.
I do.
All right. Anything else around you want to talk about around growth? Because I want to talk a little bit about organization.
No, I mean, I'm curious to see. I'm excited about Rotary, to be honest with you. I think I've been a Rotarian for a long time, and a lot of my clients I have now, a couple of really good ones I got through Rotary.
Yeah.
And so I'm pretty excited about that.
Okay, let's think about that. So you've got at Rotary, you've got some clients in Rotary.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and there are probably a lot of people in Rotary you would like to have as clients.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you go about help your clients that are in Rotary lead you to other people in Rotary you'd like to be in front of?
It's a hard – the ones I have are very old now. They're in their 90s, so they don't go to meetings anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to – And then, you know, I talked to one last week and he was telling me that all the Rotarians that he knew have passed away. And so it's hard to, like right now, I understand where you're going with it, but I think it's a hard, you know, it's not an easy connection. So it's a new Rotary Club. Yeah.
Well, here's what you would want to, let's say the answer to my question was, I got two good, really good clients in Rotary.
Yeah.
You're in a conversation with one of those two clients, and you say to that client, I would really like to get in front of so-and-so. If you were me, how would you go about doing that? You're looking for opportunities. Again, it's not overbearing. You're not the guy who's asking, just there to get to shake hands and look for clients. You're there to help people. So you look for opportunities to say, is there anybody else here who would appreciate whatever?
Well, I mean, think about that in terms of, Now being the president of the club, how do I, as the president of the club, I mean, I'm going in not as a financial advisor, I'm going in as, you know, the leader of the club. And then as I'm talking to people, you know, wherever the conversation goes, where it goes. I mean, so, I think that I kind of have an advantage.
You do.
In those regards. So I, this is a new club for me. So I'm kind of excited about it. And, you know, I think it's going to open doors, in my opinion. So
it will. What you want to be is the best president that club ever had.
Exactly.
And when you're spending time around that, Paul, don't let yourself feel like you're wasting time. I really like to work, because when you're working, being the best president that club ever had or ever will have, you're prospecting in a very subtle.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
I belong to Rotary. I was in production in Springfield, Illinois, and I belonged to Rotary. And you know, I was invited to speak because of what I did. It's just you become part of the organization. It just makes it you much more visible, and you're not just you're not just a stockbroker. All right, you're way ahead of me. Okay, let's spend a little time, all three of us here, Suzanne, with organization. I want to pretend Paul walks in one morning and says to you, I'm taking the week of July 9th off. Just making it up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, here's one way to measure your organization. That's not the, that's not gin in that can, is it?
Pellegrino.
Well, I'm me too.
I have that in the cooler too. This one just has a little flavor to it.
Yeah, as long as it's not alcoholic.
No, I'm not like that. No.
I'm just kidding. So you walk in and say, I'm taking the week of the 19th, July 19th off. And that's the last time you ever have to have a conversation with Suzanne about that. When you're really tight, she knows exactly how you want things to be done. So if you, you're going to take that week off. Now, let me take a little sidebar here, just so this is important. I ask you to bring a calendar with you.
Those ones are different.
Which one you got?
I have the 2 months you asked for.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, for what, July and August?
Let's look at
July and September.
Okay, we're just going to look at July, but I wanted you to have something else to compare it with. We schedule 20 calls a month, five a day times four. That's it. That's all we do.
Yeah.
So if you look on this July calendar, do you see any 5 week months?
You mean? So in July, you have four, and we'll call it four and a half.
Well, and in July, you got July 1st, 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. The 29th, you never, anytime you have a 5 week month, you're not scheduled. That's wide open. You follow me?
No.
Yeah, because the, like in July, so the 1st and the 2nd are Thursday and Friday. So that means the last Thursday and Friday are going to be open because they're fixed.
You're
right. And we're really only working on a 4 week calendar. And
those
extra days are open. They'll always be open.
They'll always be open.
So if I wanted to take a couple of days off this week, those are the, or this month, those would be the days that I would take off.
Yeah. Or if you might want to take that whole week off and know you're really only going to be, you know, you're only going to be missing 3 days. I just want you to understand the power of having a 5 week month. That's times that Suzanne would have to reschedule. She'd want to consider a 5 week, the fifth week of a month to reschedule one of your best clients who can't make a meeting. You see that? And if you, so in July, you've got 2 5 week months. So you got 2 free days there. And in September, it's the same. September, you've got the 29th and the 30th are going to be free. You got it?
Yeah, they're free. Yep.
Okay. All right. So now how do you want Suzanne to handle rescheduling? She's got a
Yeah, that's a good question.
Okay. So here let me give you a suggestion, and then you work off of my suggestion. This is a strong suggestion, almost like a dictate. Don't reschedule non-review calls. If you're not doing it, Ms. Smith calls, and Ms. Smith is not, it's not a review month.
And yeah.
Suzanne sends out an email to Ms. Smith saying, just a reminder, you and Paul got a meeting next Thursday. Ms. Smith emails back, Suzanne, I can't keep that. My grandkids coming in. Now, again, this is a non-review month. And you say, well, thanks for letting me know. Is there anything I can do for you? This is Suzanne talking. Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything you want me to pass on to Paul? The answer is going to be almost always no. Your response is terrific. We'll talk to you next month.
Yeah, I agree with that. We've kind of Suzanne has.
I made an observation though. Yeah. At Christmas time, we did that, in the December calls. There was a few people that said, oh, you know, can we just like reschedule? Like it can't do it. And, you know, and I said, okay, we can reschedule or we can just skip it. So I think there, I can think of two people that definitely said, let's skip it. And I think there was a third one, but then came January. Oh, they were early in the month. Can we just skip it? Their annual review was the next month, those two different clients, for February. So, I was able to schedule them for the February, but it felt like from my interactions with them that they were going to skip everyone unless I said, well, this is your annual review month. You have to. So I changed tack and I have tried to one attempt to reschedule or if somebody's away, you know, okay, we can do it next month. It seemed to dilute the importance of the monthly contact after Paul started speaking with those two people again on a monthly basis. They signed up, they both did financial planning, right?
Yeah.
And you're looking at their, long-term care insurance and it seemed a little bit like if it was too easy to skip, then they will opt to skip. There was a third client who said, I don't need these. Let's just do quarterly.
Okay.
And then the quarterly calls, like for that, like, Kevin, the other Kevin, you have to cover so much.
Yeah.
In a quarterly call.
Yeah. I mean, basically, you know, what I think is fine is, you know, like what Rob said, it's not, if the client wants to reschedule.
Yeah.
I mean,
If it's a non-review month.
If it's not a review month, it's not necessary. Yeah. But if it's something that, you know, is a review month and they need to do their annual review, that needs to be rescheduled and you know.
Right. Yeah.
So sure. She knows that. So.
So my question, I guess, is, or my observation is, if the client says, can we reschedule? I try to reschedule. If the client says, can we skip? Definitely we can skip if it's, you know, a non-review month. I sort of go with their lead.
Well, here's what you hit something very important, Suzanne. If you don't, if they skip, it's not, you're really not, you're having trouble not enforcing your brand, but keeping your brand in place. And what I would tell you, if somebody, and you picked a number, I'd pick the number three. If somebody reschedules three times in a row, I'd let Paul know. Paul picks up the phone, calls him, says, I was talking to Suzanne. We noticed that you've passed on the last three meetings. Is there anything that I can do to make these meetings more meaningful? That's not good way to put it. Paul calls and says, I put up a lot of value in these meetings, Ms. Brown. I find them, most of my clients really like it. I'd really like for you to try out these meetings. Well, Paul, I just don't really want to. And then Paul's response is, I hear you. I didn't get to this place in my life by not listening to my clients. Would you like to go to quarterly? And, you know, Paul, if somebody wants to go to quarterly, that's good too. It's not as good as monthly, but it's still a strong practice. There are more FAs out there who don't have quarterly meetings with all their clients than do.
So, yeah, I agree. You know, I think that. And Rob, you know this, there's always a very small percentage of people that don't want to hear from us monthly. They got better things to do. And so, in their minds. And so, and you know, we have maybe three clients that feel that way. And, you know, one of them is two of them are high net worth and, you know, above a million, but I don't think they're going anywhere. They just don't want to talk to me that much.
Well, and it's okay. Don't take that personally.
I don't.
I'm
fine with it.
But the point I'm trying to make several points. Number one, please don't reschedule non-review calls. Don't say.
Yeah, it creates a train wreck.
You're going to get a bunch of folders you're just going to have a pile of people.
It's hard to get through it. I agree with that. You know that though, right? Yeah, she knows that, right?
Yeah. Okay. Now Suzanne, on the people for whom this is a review month, It's the same process. Well, thank you for letting me know. Paul has openings here, here, and here. Which one of those work best for you? Mm-hmm. And reschedule them. And the main point, don't reschedule non-review calls. And you want to schedule reviews. I mean, you just said it a minute ago, Suzanne. Paul's doing this for this person and this for that person. When you get in front of them, when you're talking to them, you notice when there are things that need to be done. When you're talking to them, that's how you get a plan fully implemented. You're working on that every call, on and so forth. But I'm not going to say it again, but yeah, I will. Don't schedule non-reviews and do schedule review calls.
Rob, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, we disconnected for a second. We've also created a weekly meeting that we do in the branch to review the agenda for the upcoming calls. And I've found that tremendously valuable. So in the notes for the appointment, we rewrite an agenda and the two of us sit down. Sometimes it takes longer than other times, but you know, it's probably like a good 45 minute meeting, and we just go over the agenda for each call we're going to have that week. And I tell you that pulls everything together for me and just wraps it up.
It's really good, Paul, to have a meeting every week where you sharing everything, what's going on with you. Suzanne's the same. Paul just reminds you that so-and-so is, you've got whatever. And it's an addition to that is have a quick meeting every day, like before lunch. Anything happening today, Suzanne, that I need to know about? Or Suzanne, you say, just let you know, Miss Jones is going to stop by to drop something off in case you see her. You might want to say hi. And again, it also is a good time. Remember, we talked about getting the top one or two things you want to get done during the week. It's a good time to share that. I had a goal of doing this. I got this done. This is going to be on my list for next week.
Got it.
Remember that?
I do. Yep.
All right. I'm finished. Anything else?
No, I mean, we're really winding down here. I mean, what are you hoping to achieve? I think our last meeting is August. Is that correct?
This is number 7, so that would be right.
So we got July and August. Yeah. So what are we hoping to achieve as a group by the end of this meeting? Is there anything specific that you think, a direction we should be heading here as we wind down our time together?
Well, our goals were simple. Get your practice down to its core. Mm-hmm. Have you done that?
I have, yes. We have.
Yeah, get it down to its core. Get it organized in a repeatable fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And then grow it. When you have a smaller practice and it's organized in a repeatable way, then you got more freedom to grow. So
right.
the without growth, Paul, we've just had a good time.
I agree.
So the goal here is to start this thing growing. I think you've set the groundwork to do it. So the goal would be to have all that in place by the end of August, start to see the beginnings of growth, the referrals, the COIs, so on and so forth. And then if you want to go beyond, the next, you know, some people sign up for, some people sign up for, I got an email from, I have a firm who watches my internet account for bad things.
Yeah.
They told me recently my phone number showed up on the dark web, and I'm just getting inundated with calls. So the answer to your question is we want all those things in place in a repeatable way so that, I don't want to say you stand alone, but you've got the formation of a solid base that you're going to grow from.
Got it.
Simple.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Sorry. Right.
I would just ask you to keep focused on the acquisition strategies and look for opportunities to have those conversations.
Yeah. Will do.
All right.
Good okay, we'll see you next month.
Gosh, going by quickly.
Yes, sir, it is. It's going by too quickly.
Yeah, life's that way. All right.
Have a good night.
All right.
Hey, Rob. Nice to meet you. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye.